Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning into the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about, I know, it's hard to talk about this one, but we're going to be talking about the Zags, the Gonzaga Bulldogs falling short one game of their perfect season in the national championship to the Baylor Bears. Hell of a game by Baylor. Got to give Baylor credit. It was a hard one to swallow. But it was a great season. You know, it was a great ride. I enjoyed watching all the games. You know, as a fan, this is the closest we've ever been. So, a lot to cherish this season, but it was a hard way to end. I can't lie. But we're going to be talking about the national championship. We're also going to be talking about the MLB. The MLB is back, better than ever. Baseball is back. It's unbelievable. Full season this year as opposed to that weird, short COVID season last year. So, Cubs, Sox, Nationals, we're back, baby. We are back. The boys are back. Lots to talk about there. And we're also going to talk some NBA. The Chicago Bulls, currently on a two-game winning streak. Longest winning streak they've had in months. Can they keep it going tonight against a depleted Toronto Raptors team to make it three games in a row? You'll have to find out. Let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. So let's hop right into it. The Gonzaga Bulldogs. A team I've been rooting for, I think it's 10 years now. Everyone, of course, you know, when I went to Vegas, I was wearing my Gonzaga sweatshirt, and they're like, oh, are you from Spokane? I'm like, nah, just a fan. And you could tell that they thought, okay, this guy's just, you know, riding the bandwagon, number one overall seed, doesn't know much about him. Anyone can think whatever they want. You know, it's not my job to prove people that I'm a fan. The people that know me know that I've, you know, spent countless hours watching WCC basketball, Gonzaga Pepperdine at 9 o'clock at night, and no matter what, you know, they're doing or how they're doing, I'm watching. I'm a fan. You know, someone asked me the other day, like, Riddle, how'd you become a Gonzaga Bulldog fan? It was actually Mr. Cole Neater that lives down the block. It was a fair question because he's like, yeah, I watch all these Zags games with you, and I don't know why you're even a fan, but he like wasn't like shaming me. He was just curious, and I was like, that's a very good question. So 10 years ago, Gonzaga was just getting into the national spotlight. You know, they were always making it to the tournament. You know, they had that one season where they had Adam Morrison and they got upset by UCLA when they were a high seed. But other than that, they were always just a good Cinderella team that, you know, consistently made the tournament only because they won their conference, which, as most of you guys know, is not a very good conference. The West Coast Conference, the only good teams coming out of there are Gonzaga, St. Mary's, BYU. You know, those are the only consistent teams making a run or some sort of run out of that conference. So Gonzaga was getting a lot of national attention, playing ESPN a lot, and it was the team that had Kelly Olynyk with the long hippie hair, Kevin Pangos, that got my attention. You know, they were on ESPN a few weekends in a row. This is the time where I'm a Northwestern basketball fan, so to be fair, there's not a lot of winning going around, so I'm always kind of just searching for another team. I found my Butler Bulldogs team, same way, you know, one of my friends back in middle school, his dad or his uncle was the Butler football coach. So, of course, he was a huge fan, which got me into it. And, of course, they made two national championships, didn't win. But they're an awesome underdog team. You know, they're classified as a mid-major. So that's where I started. A mid-major team like Gonzaga, Butler Bulldogs, is why I fell in love. You know, they're a good team that's, you know, underrated. You know, people doubt them. You know, people give them shit. You know, they don't think they're, you know, have a hard enough schedule. All this nonsense. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be a fan and prove everybody wrong that this team has what it takes to win. And since 2010, they still have yet to win their first national championship. They've never won a championship ever in their whole tenure as a Gonzaga program. They've made it to two national championships now, two out of the last 4 years. 4 years ago with Nigel Williams-Goss, you know, they lost North Carolina in a pretty highly contested game in a championship. This year, obviously, running the tables every single game. besides, you know, the UCLA thriller in overtime. That's a great game. You know, I'll take that game, the first game in the Final Four, UCLA Gonzaga, one for the books, Jalen Suggs, half-court shot for the win. I'll never forget that. You know, too bad that wasn't the championship, though. They still had one more game to go, and I think that's what threw them off. You know, having a game like that, so emotionally invested, coming down to the wire, I mean, that's such a tough way to bounce back against a Baylor team that is one of the best college basketball teams I've ever seen. You know, my roommate Kyle Coughlin, huge Baylor guy, picked him to win. You know, has been watching him all year. He told me so. He told me Baylor Bears. I didn't want to listen. Obviously, I was going to block that out because of Gonzaga. I would have picked Gonzaga against literally anybody. But Baylor came to play, and I give so much credit to the Baylor Bears. I mean, I think they were like 7-for-7 from three to start the game, just raining threes. They were, where I give credit is inside. They were a huge presence inside. The Gonzaga could not get a rebound. And that's really, for me, what differentiated Baylor from Gonzaga. They got out physical. You know, Gonzaga from the opening tip was just not ready to bang with the big boys. And so Baylor took advantage of that, and they were up the whole game. It was, you know, 11-1 early. Gonzaga did cut it to a 10-point lead at halftime. There was hope, but Baylor just, you know, they were confident. They were ready to go. They were not fazed by the moment. You know, they low-key, Baylor also ran through this tournament as well. You know, they were down to Villanova at one point at halftime of the Sweet 16 game, but other than that, you know, they were ready to go, and it was sad to see the season end like that. You know, it was kind of just a shot to the nards. You know, you're kind of like, I'm so ready, you know, for the Zags win their first championship, and just for it to end like that was kind of sad. But at the end of the day, you know, we lost one game all season, and that was to the national champions, Baylor Bears. And you know what? To all the haters out there for saying Gonzaga, you know, this is a classic Gonzaga team. No one knows, you know, what they're talking about, because if you've watched them all season, you know that they were the most dominant team in basketball. And there's no debate about it. You know, they had an unbelievable non-conference schedule. They cruised through their conference schedule, even though it's an easy schedule. Every team, I don't know if people realize, every team that they play, you know, they have them marked on their schedule. So, yeah, they're lower, you know, seeded opponents. You know, they're not as good as Gonzaga or many Division I teams. But they want to beat Gonzaga just as much as anybody. So, you know, they have them marked. It's like their championship. So Gonzaga has to come ready to play each and every day. So, you know what? To everyone out there that doubts Gonzaga, let's go ahead. You keep doing that. I'm going to keep riding the Zags train for the rest of my life. And you know what? One day they are going to win the national championship, and it's going to feel damn good. Was it this year? No. Was it a step in the right direction? Hell yeah, baby. So the MLB is back, which means it's White Sox baseball, it's Cubs baseball, Nationals baseball. We're all back. And this feels so much better this year now that stadiums are letting a capacity of fans back in. Unless if you're in Texas, it's just full capacity in Texas. I mean, there's no rules down there. It was so funny. They were interviewing people in the stadium. They're like, yeah, you know what? We're social distancing in here. I mean, I don't know how you social distance with 40,000 people in a stadium. But hey, you know what? No casualties yet from fans being let in the stadium. I know some stadiums are being a lot more strict. In New York, for the Yankees, you have to show your vaccination card to get in. I know the White Sox stadium, you have to provide a contact tracing list to get in. So, you know what? Everyone's doing it their own way. Whatever works, works. All I know is that we have baseball, and it's back and better than ever. We have the White Sox starting their new journey with Mr. DUI, Tony La Russa, who, you know what? The Sox right now, 3-4. Having a, you know what? I'll take being 3-4. We had a tough stretch going against four against the Los Angeles Angels, who are, in my opinion, going to be a playoff team this year. You know, you have Ohtani, Trout, Rendon. That is a scary lineup. Oh, we got to see Ohtani pitch on Sunday. He looked awesome. So, you know what? Losing 3 out of 4 to the Angels, every single loss, okay, we lost in the eighth inning or more. So I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but what I do know is that we had the lead in two of them going into the eighth inning, blowing it. We were tied going into the ninth on Sunday against Ohtani. We grinded. We came back. So the Rangers fight in this team. Then we went to Seattle, won 2 out of 3 against the Mariners. We were up 4-1 in the sixth yesterday. We're up 7 runs in the inning. So you know what? If it shows anything, you know, we've been competitive in each and every game. You know, we just got to finish. You know what? We're 7 games in to a 162-game baseball season So how do you know? I mean, there's sometimes where, you know, you get the crap teams, like, now the Pirates are 1-5, but pretend, you know, the Pirates were like 4-1 to start the season. You know, that's not going to last. So teams sometimes overperform in the beginning of the season. Good teams, for instance, like the Braves starting 0-4, they're not going to, you know, they just won 2 in a row against the Nationals the other day. They're not going to stay 0-4 for those seasons. So it takes a while for a team to gel in a baseball season. And it's showing right now for the White Sox. So they have a damn good team. You know, they're missing Eloy Jimenez for majority of the season. TA is now on the IL for a little bit. So, you know, our big boys aren't in there. So we're having to grind. So it's an adjustment for a team not having, you know, your top hitters in the lineup. But there's no excuses. Everyone deals with injuries in baseball. You just got to keep going. The Sox now take on the Kansas City Royals this weekend for a 3-game series. There's a game today, a day off tomorrow, 2 games Saturday and Sunday. The Royals right now, 4-2, looking like, you know, maybe a surprise team in the AL. But like I said, you know, they're 4-2. Who knows how long they'll be 4-2, especially with, you know, the White Sox coming to play. The White Sox should win 2 out of 3 or sweep the Royals, in my opinion, to make a statement in the division. We don't want to, you know, as Steve Stone says, you know, or said the other night, you don't want to be climbing up the whole season. So we'd love to see a couple, you know, 3 good games from the Sox this weekend, you know, especially having their first homestand. I want to see what the Sox are all about. Let's see if they can, you know, change the mind of some early critics in the season. You know, but I like what I've seen. You know, bullpens look shaky at times, but for the most part, the bullpen's going to be solid. You know, with Crochet, Kopech, Liam Hendricks, Bummer, you know, we have a solid bullpen. Our lineup is good. You know, we've changed our lineup up a lot. You know, I like the depth that we have. You know, with Adam Eaton coming in, you know, batting all over the place. You know, he's been batting the top of the order recently, which, you know, honestly, I've liked. Abreu already hitting 2 grand slams this year. He's back. Grandal heating up a little bit. Luis Robert hitting a dinger the other night. You know, he started off a little slow, but he's getting the hang of it. Nick Madrigal, pretty good at the offensive side of the plate, but not good in the field right now. He needs to step up. That's the biggest problem for the White Sox right now, is their defense. It's becoming a trend. You know, we've been getting 1 or 2 errors a game. We probably have the most errors in the season. And we've had some laughable ones, which have come back to haunt us. We've had one going off Robert's head, which is going to be on memes forever. And unfortunately, all the errors that we have are coming back to haunt us, you know, which they should. It shows that you cannot commit errors in the MLB. Teams feed off errors. You know, it brings momentum to their side. And that's something that we really have to, you know, shape up. So, like, for instance, the Chicago Cubs right now, 3-3, haven't really been able to hit, but they have gold glovers all over the field. Defensive side of the field is the best, you know, thing the Cubs have, probably. You know, and that's like, you know, obviously you need offense to win, but defense counts just as much. The Cubs don't give away runs for the most part. So the Cubs are going to find things at the offensive side of the plate too. You know, they've kind of had a historic last few days of not being able to hit, but that's going to change. You know what? It happens. It's early in the season. I like the Cubs lineup. They're going to be fine. The Nationals, you know, it was a weird start for them having a COVID-filled first 4 days. So they've really just got their season started the last few days against the Braves. Kind of a wild start. Lots of runs being scored. Nationals winning off a walk-off base hit from Juan Soto the first game, having to come back from 4-0. And then having a 2-game doubleheader, losing by 1 the first game, losing by 2 the second game. So they're going to, you know, shape it up. They've had a, you know, tough schedule. They have to play the Braves and then play the Dodgers this weekend. So Nationals, you know, are going to be in for it. But they're going to be fine. I think, you know, I like their team. Not a lot of expectations coming out from the Nationals camp this year. So hopefully they can prove people wrong as well. But overall, you know what? Baseball's back. You know, first week of baseball in the books. Can't complain. It's going to be here for a while, guys. And this is, you know, with COVID going on, this is something that just, you know, helps you get through the day. Helps you keep your mind off whatever you're doing. And, it, you know, it just makes you feel like, all right, I have something to look forward to each and every day. I love it. Let's go Cubs. Let's go Sox. Let's go Nationals.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
My Riddle's rant of the week. I'm taking it back to the White Sox. I already talked about it. Their defense. The White Sox defense has been
atrocious to start the year. It's getting to the point where every pop fly, my heart's stopping. I'm like, well, we're going to drop it. Inning's going to go on. And it's just like, okay, we're not that bad. I don't think so. I mean, that's the sad, I mean, that's the scary thing. It's like, is this going to be a problem the whole season? Are we going to lose multiple ball games because we can't play defense? And, you know, that's just, you know, at times we've looked like a little league team. You know, we're out there kicking the ball around, letting people run the bases. And it's just like, come on, boys. Like, we have the offense. We have the pitching. Let's not let the defense, you know, falter what we're doing this season. And you know what? We're going to pick it up. You know, hopefully this is just something that we look back on. Like, oh, remember when the Sox defense is bad. But it's carrying into, you know, over a week now. And it looks like, you know, wow, okay. And all it takes is, you know, the defense looks fine. It's always just like one inning where, you know, a Taylor made double play should be made. Or, you know, a pop fly should be caught. And all of a sudden, everything is undone. So, you know what? Let's take a deep breath. Let's hire the best defensive-minded coach out there. Fire whoever is on the defensive side right now. And let's get it going. Let's go, Tony. I know you know people out there. You're a Hall of Famer. You have to know someone that knows how to catch balls. Let's go, White Sox. Let's fix that defense.
G4 Spotlight of the Week.
My G4 spotlight of the week. I'm taking it to the Chicago Bulls. You know, I hyped them up in the intro, and I say, how is the best way that I can hype them up the most in the show? And it's giving them the honor of the G4 spotlight. It's the best honor that you can get. I mean, there's no other better feeling than getting a G4 spotlight. And the Bulls, you know, kind of the last team I thought, you know, they should have almost been in the Riddle's rant of the week because of how many games they lost in a row. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They go out and get Vucevic. He's been killing it on the Bulls, okay? And it's not his fault that when they get him, they play every good team in the league. The Jazz, the Suns. I mean, they're on this West Coast trip, and it just never ends. And they're playing all these, you know, highly talented championship aspiration teams, and you're like, wow, like, Bulls, like, when are they ever going to play a game that they can win again? And they have. They just beat the Pacers by a million on Tuesday. They also took down who'd they beat before that? They beat the Pacers on Tuesday, and they took it to the Nets on Sunday. The Brooklyn Nets, who did have Kyrie Irving, so two good wins in a row for the Bulls. They're playing the Toronto Raptors tonight, who don't have anybody. So let's see if the Bulls can make it three in a row tonight against a team that has scrubs playing. I mean, this is the chance for the Bulls to prove that okay, they are better than a Toronto Raptors team, who was right behind them in that standing. So the Bulls actually need to win tonight against this Toronto team. They also have the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow, a team that's been hot. That'll be a tough game in Atlanta, but it's games that we could win now. It's games that are in our schedule that are not the Brooklyn Nets, who we did beat, but they're not that type of team at the top of the standings, and they're not, you know, a West Coast team. So this is a chance for the Bulls to prove that they're going to make the playoffs this year. They're going to be competitive, and I give them all the credit right now. They're playing hard, way harder than I ever expected them to be playing after losing that many games. So they're in it to the end. I love Billy Donovan. He has the boys in order, and I think the Bulls are going to make a run before it's all said and done. The flick of the week this week. It's a good one. It's fucking scary, and it's Us, the movie Us, produced by Jordan Peele. This was a 2019 film coming out 2 years after Get Out, which was an unbelievable film. Followed it up beautifully. It's not a sequel, but it's that same type of movie. It's a movie about this family going to the dad's grandma's old house in Florida. All of a sudden, you know, getting stalked by four strange individuals. And, you know, it's one of those movies where I can't even explain what's going on because it's going to ruin it. All I know is that it's a thriller, you know, it's funny at times, but it provides context into the way that, you know what, like, what else is out there in human society, you know, what is out there looming the streets that we don't know about, and it's a movie that makes you think the whole time, you know, who's really who, what's really the plot here. So I highly recommend watching it.
I actually bought it on YouTube last night for $3. It was worth it. I've already seen it, but I wanted to watch it again. I just randomly came upon it. I was like, fuck it, we're watching Us again. And you know what? Totally worth it. You might want to watch it with somebody else. It's actually pretty scary. I watched it by myself last night, and I was like, I wish I had somebody else here with me to watch it. But at the end of the day, it's a classic. You know, you won't be disappointed. I guarantee it. Watch Us right now. My bet of the week this week. I've been on an NBA tear recently, especially first halves. And we're going to keep it rolling tonight. The Chicago Bulls tonight, like I said, taking on the Toronto Raptors. 3-point favorites. I think they might have raised to 4 at this point. I'm taking Bulls first half, -1.5. The Bulls, they're going to win tonight outright, but they're going to win that first half too. They're going to come out in Toronto strong. Fuck the Raptors. They suck. Bulls, -1.5, first half. Let's get it going. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It's going to be a rainy weekend this weekend, but that doesn't stop you guys from going out there and having a good time. Go get some bottomless mimosas. That's what me and the boys are doing. $12 bottomless mimosas this weekend. It's the move. It's the new wave. Positive vibes only. I hope you guys kill it this weekend. Have a good time. I'll see you guys next week. I love you all. Real Daddy, he's out.